Oh, come on, Jackson. Play a little down for me. There we go. It's 93.7 WEEI. Rich certainly. Ken Laird. Christian Arcan here in studio. And by the way, just when I went to go use the restroom a second ago, and just out of curiosity's sake, I was looking at the names on the back of the jerseys that were in there.
Uh-huh.
Two Mookie Betts, one Mike Napoli, a Veritek, and a David Ortiz.
Veritek's a statement now. You wear Veritek, it's like, I support Cora and the Fired Six.
Right. Yeah, you are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
We got a Boston Braves jersey out there. Wow, All right. The Boston Braves
before
a current player. It's not even a team anymore. I mean, the Atlanta Braves, but like, that's amazing.
The Braves is your second team this year? That makes all the sense in the world.
It does.
Like, get a second team.
Why? Yeah. Absolutely.
I'd still yet to see a current non-injured player jersey. I have not seen one today. And I've been looking around.
Yes, he's still healthy.
Jacoby Ellsbury. I see a Jacoby Ellsbury jersey out there.
Red Sox or Yankees?
Honestly. Okay, it's a Red Sox one.
Okay.
If you're going to the game tonight and you go to the closet, you're probably like, you know what? Instead of the Red Sox jersey I have, I should probably just go with a T-shirt or something, you know, just plain.
A paper bag.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yes. Yep. It's very strange. All right. We have time for a quick take grenade. Let's go ahead and watch it.
Incoming!
Oh, yes. You can go to the Odyssey app and leave these. We collect them throughout the entire show. They're brought to you by Milligan and Higgins. OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to MilliganandHiggins.com for a free consultation. Yes, you go to the app, press a little microphone button, leave us a message, and we play them in the 5 o'clock hour. Let's hear the one later.
Wait, Rich, are you saying you're surprised the English weren't as awesome as the Scottish? You mean the people that have a designated time of the day to drink tea aren't as awesome as people that have a designated time of day to drink beer, which apparently is all 24 hours of the day?
The English have been a massive disappointment. Massive. I live right near where they all drink and get drunk and go crazy, and they you know, drink the beer out of the bars and everything. And like, after the Scottish left, I'm telling you, it's a ghost town.
Yeah.
And no, actually, it's not a ghost town. I've been down there. They're there. They're just very quiet.
Mm.
No one's like yelling and dancing and throwing cones on stuff. I really miss the Scottish. I do. And like, the Haitians were great. The Iraq fans were awesome. Like, they were partying at Boston Common too. All of them were cleaning up after themselves, whether you were Scottish or whatever. And now it's just, you know, the English came and it was like, you know, several days of just like nobody's right. It was like it was work for them. And I keep going back to that one video I've seen of them waiting to get on the train. Whereas I saw the Scottish video, they're like,
Is it because the English are too serious? Like, do they feel like they invented the game and they have to like act proper, or is it what?
It's not proper. They all look upset. Like, like no one
like
really
the,
wants
like the
to
weather be. Over there. It's just
they don't want to be here. The Scottish, like, it's as if they've, you know, discovered Valhalla. Like, Boston. Like, they literally went to like where the Dick's Last Resort used to be at Faneuil Hall, and like a Margaritaville, like, oh, I found paradise. It is here. And I bought a Norm t-shirt with normisms. It really is just, and the English just have been disappointed. So Germans and potentially Australians, you better step up your effing game, baby. Because I loved it when the Scots were here, and the Iraqis, and the Haitians, like, they party. Yep. Like, they all party. Mm. And the English have been bleh.
I bet the Aussies are going to get pretty rowdy. If Australia's like England's prison island, right? Isn't that what it started off as, right?
Really, so, that's what they say.
Yeah.
But I can't. Hopefully, you're right. Because just in my head, I imagine the Australians. It's like, you know, Crocodile Dundee and his friend just like, right. Oh, Fosters, where's the Fosters? Like, I can't wait for that. But I'm really disappointed in the English. Very, very disappointed.
I wonder if it's because their team's like good. Because like Scotland, no one thought they'd actually anything. England has a chance, so they're like very serious about all the games.
Yeah.
And Scotland just wanted to come and party. I think that's the difference.
And like Mbappe's staying right down the street too. And there's a couple people out, you know, it's a crowd out front usually going, hey, Lance Rodriguez. I haven't seen many French people around.
No.
And I know that that's like, what, next week is when the...
Oh, Friday night, France-Norway.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow.
So I've seen Norwegians, but as you were saying, they were a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
They showed up in town, they made their video of them rowing, and then they're just kind of walking around like, hey. And the Norwegians should rule. Like, they should be like, I mean, they're Vikings.
They should.
You should be amazing.
They discovered this country. I mean, really.
They did. Yeah. Leif Erikson or Eric the Red or I don't know, whatever. I don't know my history.
That's
very
good.
Well.
Very good.
Yes, I've watched my Viking movies. The Northmen, by the way. Great.
But they got driven out by the Inuits, which is kind of embarrassing. Like, they were in Iceland, they own Iceland, and they got kicked out. How did he lose to the Inuits?
I don't know. I didn't read that part of history. Yeah. I didn't read much. I don't read much. All right, 617-779-7937.
You know about the Inuits?
Sure. Come on. Sure, why not? So let's go ahead and get to this. There's a report out that Greg Breslow is not going to be lasting very much longer here with the Red Sox.
This is actually a kind of a significant report.
From a big name.
Yes.
From as big of a name, as big of an insider as you can get in baseball, it sounds like Craig Breslow's time is limited. We'll get that right after this. Plus 93.7 WEEI, Rich Certainly, Ken Laird, Christian Arcan, and it took about... You say it's been about an hour and a half since we've had people outside milling around?
Yeah.
Hour and a half? Or maybe even longer. Yeah, Noah's saying even longer. Let's say 2 hours. It's been 2 hours when people have been milling by, and we finally saw the first jersey of a current Red Sox player who was not injured, and it was...
Marcelo Meyer.
Right. That's right.
Our guy.
He was having a great week.
Really?
Cello. I call him Cello.
I felt bad for him. You know what? I do like it when players... say like what he said afterwards, because that to me it just shows they're human, and it shows that they're not delusional and they're accountable. I liked, and that's, you know, it's really an easy thing you should teach all athletes, is that's all really fans want to hear.
And he bobbles.
That's right.
It was just such a bad error in the sense of so simple a movement. He had the ball in the bare hand. He just had to toss it and it just fell out of the hand.
Listen, sometimes everybody F's up on easy things. And it was great. He was just like, yeah, I F'd up. It was awful. I'm the reason we lost this game.
But they were a mess in other places. Like Monasterio had a bad cutoff. I thought Middlebrooks did a great job on the bunt, which was like a safety squeeze bunt.
Yeah.
Contreras didn't crash hard enough. I was listening on the radio heading down to the concert, and Middlebrooks was like, he tried to bunt once, he failed. And he was like, Contreras has to crash harder. Yeah. And he didn't do it again the second time, and he was just lackadaisical, and the run scored easily. It was the winning run in the game.
Yeah.
And they just don't. So this is when we come back to Chad Tracy. It's not his fault at all, but I do just wonder if they need some adults who have done it for a longer period of time in the room, or he needs some help on his staff. Like, God, it's just him by himself with a bunch of minor league guys.
The whole reason Meyer was in the game is because Durbin slid into first base.
Right.
Like, that was the whole reason he was even there. What they teach you not to do in T-ball. That's unbelievable.
I'm not going to crap on Durbin right now. He's got Lorenzo working for him. And he's
back. Okay. Unlike Roman, he's back the day after.
That's right. And he is back. All right, so this is an interesting report that came out. And is this from, Rosenthal? Ken Rosenthal, who we obviously know is one of the most connected people in baseball.
Although he writes for The Athletic, which...
As we know,
Rossini Group.
Questioning the integrity of The Athletic lately. But he had an interesting report when it came to Craig Breslow and Craig Breslow's future. We all know that for the past several weeks, there's been an article written. There was that one that was in the Globe that was fairly damning where they said that he needs a translator. They talked about how analytics is being relied on way too much. Theo Epstein came out in a podcast, and Theo Epstein's not talking to anybody, but he goes on this podcast, and in the one time he talks, he finds a way to somewhat crap on Craig Breslow, even though he probably wouldn't classify it that way. It sure did sound that way. But here is Ken Rosenthal talking about, do we have...
It's a printed column. Okay. So it reads, the first sentence of the column I wrote after the firing of Alex Cora was, quote, Craig Breslow is next, end quote. Nothing that has transpired since has changed my opinion. And then he goes through kind of the history of the year, and he ends with, Breslow is next, all right. The only question is when, period. So very definitive from a heavy-hitting journalist in the baseball world. And again, the question of when, I don't get this. If that's the case, why not... today, before the Yankees series, but if you're getting into trade mode, which they surely are, you just lost to the Rockies, why would you have Breslow execute these trades coming up that are the key for the future of the organization?
Just to be clear, it's not even on the table.
Yes, it's not even on the table.
Mm-mm. Right?
No, I agree. I don't know why you would keep him around when there's any kind of decision to be made regarding the future of this team, especially one where you could be giving up some valuable assets like an Aroldis Chapman or, you know, even Jaron Duran, like all these names that you hear on the chopping block. Why would you trust the guy that built this awful team that's out there to have his fingerprints on any of it? So I don't know. And I don't know why they're waiting. I honestly think it's that Breslow's still there to be a human shield for John Henry. So people aren't yelling at John Henry as much. He's the guy taking all the bullets, Greg Breslow. And maybe it's for selfish reasons that Henry's keeping him around. I feel bad for Craig Breslow. He wasn't the guy for the job. But then again, you know, 12 people said no before him, which is insane.
It is.
By the way, that is the most underrated story in all of this, is that to take his position, which should be one of the most coveted positions in all of baseball.
Not with this ownership.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, it is. It really is. But even if you do as well as you possibly can, you have a 5-year shelf life. That's it. That's the way it works around here. And, you know, it's easier to blame the GM. It's easier to blame the front office and fire them and move on to the next ones, which is really upsetting about it. If I was to make my case, if I was Craig Breslow or Sam Kennedy or whatever, and I'm making my case here for Breslow, I say, well, the only players on this team that are doing anything are guys that Breslow picked up in the offseason. Contreras, Sonny Gray, I mean, those are all Breslow guys. Mm-hmm. And I also think that, you know, Breslow's been, it's his third year, right?
Yeah, third
so
year.
So his first year was whatever. His second year was objectively good. Like, we all agree, that offseason, the Chapman, Crochet, Bregman offseason was an objectively good offseason, and that was a pretty good year last year.
Yeah.
So do you fire him after his first bad? This is his first bad year, right? Like, this is his first really bad year.
This is really
It's very bad, but do you bad. Fire him for one bad year? Oh, when he had an objectively good one last year.
And the trade deadlines have been bad. Like, he had to prove that.
Yeah.
So that's a big fear.
You're right.
You know?
I mean, you can't sit in your hands when you're the worst team in baseball. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm sorry. You're the worst team in the American League. You are you're the second worst team in baseball, and the worst team in baseball just beat you.
And by the way,
So you can't, it's unacceptable. You have to make some sort of changes because it's only gotten worse since Cora was gone.
They are impacted by the Yankees. Obviously, Bradford wrote a big column today about, you know, comparing the Yankees to the Red Sox over the last couple of years and how the two organizations have diverged. Yeah. With all the pinstripes that you're seeing coming by here, don't you think Monday we're going to be looking back and talking about how Fenway Park was taken over by Yankees fans all weekend? And
yeah,
just like,
I mean,
this is going to be a little bit of a mini Bronx atmosphere here the next four nights.
I'm looking around though, and John Henry, I don't think he appreciates what he has. I'm still seeing a ton of Red Sox faithful coming out here and coming to these games and giving them the benefit of the doubt, which I guarantee
he knows he has that.
And that's the thing, he knows. And I'm not going to kill him because people love Fenway Park. I love Fenway Park. Even when the team's bad, I love going to Fenway Park.
Yep.
He's got me. He's got my ticket sales.
And he won four. I mean, he always has that card to pull. I bought you four titles.
But you know what? You can't sit and rest on your laurels. We expect more here.
Yep.
And I hate that. And you know what? He should be someone that never would have to buy a drink here in town. I know he made that joke, but it's true. He was one of the best owners in this city's history.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing how, you know, like in the Batman movie, you either, you know, die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain. And he's done that. He's completely changed the way that his whole philosophy on running a team. And I don't want to, like, you're keeping us in this prison as long as you're an owner. And that's your philosophy, that once you got rid of Dombrowski, you completely changed the way you ran things. And now we as fans have to suck on it. Until either a new owner comes in or you change the way that you run this team. You change completely your philosophy on how to run a team.
But he's around a lot. He's making calls. We've heard all those reports.
I hate that. He's lurking everywhere, but he won't talk to the press.
Omnipresent.
I guess so. Omnipresent everywhere. All right, 617-779-7937. We got a new leader in the clubhouse of Jaylen Brown's next team. According to Windhorst, he is gone. See you later. No longer a Celtic. At least very soon, no longer a Celtic. We'll get to that audio right after this. It's 93.7 WEI. Rich Schertenlieb, Ken Laird, Christian Arcan, and we are broadcasting from Fenway Park right now at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. And this drive home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Real quick before we take this call, my heart got warmed. You know what?
Really?
This first time this month? This cold, dead heart of mine got warmed. And just because I saw something come across my feed, you know the new Jackass movie comes out tomorrow?
Yes. Oh, really?
Which I can't, by the way, seeing Jackass in a theater is one of the best experiences. If you've never seen a Jackass movie in a theater, I've seen every single one of them. There's been four, right? Four movies? There's three. There was the
I've seen two.
Okay, there was the one that came out recently, that kind of with the new cast along with the old cast. So I've seen all four in a theater, and all four times it's some of the hardest I've ever laughed. There is something that just came across my feed that is the premiere, the red carpet, mm-hmm. and it's got Johnny Knoxville and the current cast with April and Phil Margera, the parents.
Wow.
Which was cool because apparently Bam Margera is so far gone. He's not in the new. Yeah. Oh, they've had a huge falling out.
He had a big problem. Yeah.
Like a massive problem. And they keep saying we tried to help him over and over and he couldn't be helped. And, you know, you've seen him online doing going off on all these crazy rants and stuff like that. I think they honestly tried everything they could to make right. But I think Bam's gone kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But it is cool that the mom and dad who are in like all those great, you know, sketches where they put like an alligator in their home and stuff like that, they showed up to it. So that's cool that at least there's that connection. So, yes, but my cold dead heart was
warm.
This
is the final one too, huh?
They're calling it first and last. I don't know how they can pull off half the stuff that they pull off. I mean, honestly, we've had Steve-O. We had Steve-O in studio one time and he came in on crutches and I thought it was kind of like a joke. And he was like, no, I literally just broke my legs last week. He did this stunt just for the internet where he was standing on top of like a wooden, like an outhouse, and he had a skateboard. And the trick was going to be that a car was going to drive as fast as it could and smash into the outhouse that he was standing on. And he would jump and then land on the skateboard and skate away. But what happened was it hit it, he fell, and his legs like hit the concrete the wrong way and snapped his both of his legs in two. And he went and, you know.
That would have been a sweet trick, though.
It would have been cool as hell if he would have pulled it off.
Did you put bait on his butt and jump in like.
Oh, yeah. It was a shark infest. You know what?
Shark one?
You know what's weird is that like I never found his stunts to be the better ones. The better ones were always the funny ones where it was like really clever, like the one where there would be a. Like the guys would be walking down the hall and they'd have that giant hand that would smack him in the face. Like stuff like that would that made me laugh.
I always liked when the fat guy was chasing the little guy down the street in their underwear. That one always killed me.
Those movies, I love them. I really do. And there was nothing better than the moment that I introduced my son to Jackass. That was I took him to go see
and
the
he liked that one? Other than because you said it failed on Zoolander.
Well, I remember when I took him to go see the last one in the theater. And he's like, Dad, why is this movie rated R? And I said, it's because they probably don't want like young kids to try any of this stuff as in it. And the very first skit is literally like the most full frontal nudity you've ever seen. I mean, it's like they made a monster out of like Chris Pontius's crotch, like Godzilla. And it was just like, and there was no editing or anything like that. And then the very next one, like they put bees all over like Steve-O's like crotch. So it was like the first two skits
covered
are, like,
honey.
are like full on full frontal. Like I think that's why, Hank, to be quite honest. All right, let's take call number one, line one. What's up, Honey Badger from Twitch? How you doing, buddy?
Honey Badger.
Hey, Ken. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Pretty good. All right. So you guys were talking before the break when everyone turned on John Henry.
Yes.
It was when he traded Mookie Betts was the line in the sand. Before then, we dealt with terrible teams before, but no one hated John Henry this much. But when he traded Mookie away was him telling the world that he wasn't going to play in the same world that, you know, the Mets are in and the Dodgers are in. And,
Honey Badger, that is the point of no return, wasn't it? Like that, you know, when you look back, that was where you questioned everything.
I think Bradford has taken it back to Lester and Lackey.
That's where I have it. 2014, deadline in 2014. That's where I think it started.
But
that's where like you trading John Lester, that guy, like Mookie was the straw that broke the camel's back. But I think 2014 was when he couldn't. He'd have to buy his own drinks in Boston after that. You know what I mean? Like, that's when that stopped.
That's a good point, because Lester, the whole thing was that we would not sign any pitchers over the age of 30. Isn't that what leaked out? And then, of course, Lester goes and wins a World Series for the Cubs. Yeah, that sucked. And Lester was also loved. Like, that's the other thing, is that and he was still good.
Yeah. And he had been sick, and then he got better. Like, it was a whole thing.
And honestly, they loved him, the firing of Dombrowski should have been the first red alert, because there's a guy who was – he brought you a title, and – he was aggressive, and he was – look at him now. He's a winner. I mean, Schwarber and the whole thing and his approach, I get it. They wanted to pivot and, you know, be smart about certain things. Not everything Dombrowski did was right, but that was a clear sign they were going in another direction.
Yep. Fired all their driveline guys, too. just saying.
All right, so I'm looking at Kalshi right now on Jaylen Brown's next team. Windhorst straight up said that he's going to be traded. I think those are his words. I'm not even mixing it up. He's going to be traded. And according to Carl, he's going to get traded. There it is right there. Thank you very manly, Mr. Brian Windhorst. Right now, the leader in the clubhouse at 32% is that he stays with Boston or retired. 32%, not a high number.
That dry was 44 yesterday.
Yep, it is dropping. But underneath it is just a cavalcade of teams. Right now at the very top at 11% is Charlotte. They believe that Charlotte will try to make up for their LaMelo Ball missing. And
but Terp said basically that's not happening, right, because they committed to Coby White and they have too much money. How they could not afford him.
Yep.
They do have a large trade, big trade exception now from this deal, I guess. So I guess that's maybe one way they could do it.
Cleveland is number two, and I have heard this Evan Mobley one being thrown around all day today, and there is no way they should do that. And I know that Brad Stevens wouldn't be dumb enough to do that because you cannot make Cleveland a better team. No. Cleveland is already a good team and a threat to the Celtics in the East. Why make them better? Like, because I'm telling you one thing. I have never been more certain that wherever Jaylen Brown goes, he is going to make you pay. He is going to get there and have... You thought this year was a good year for him personally? It's going to be even better. And he's going to be bitter and motivated to prove you wrong, Celtics, if you end up doing that.
Yeah.
So I do not.
Western Conference, I mean, that's why I like Houston. And I also think... I don't know where Utah is on the list. I don't know Markkanen that well. He hasn't played a lot the last 2 years.
Markkanen, oh my God.
But he's a 7'1" guy. If you need size, he is a rim protector. He does have some good games in his history. Okay. It's a win now move at least.
I just think if
I'd rather Mobley than either of them.
Here should be the standard. I should be able to go outside to these people waiting in line and all 10 people to be able to tell me that they've heard of the person you just mentioned for us to trade Jaylen Brown for him.
Well, I mean, like Brad, when he traded for Drew Holiday and Porzingis, did everybody know those players?
Oh, yeah, Drew Holiday, of course.
Or Laurie Markkanen, they did, yeah. Yeah. I'd say.
Well, Porzingis, I have to be honest, when they got him, I was like, where the hell's he been? Porzingis disappeared for a while.
He was a name, though. You knew the name.
Did you know Derek White when they got Derek White? I mean, I didn't know how good
he was. I did, because he's a Buffalo.
Yeah, but I wouldn't trade Jaylen Brown for Derek White.
Well, no, but I'm talking about three pieces. Like, so if it's Şengün and, you know, two other guys.
I'm getting a weird feeling, and I'm saying it again. It's Kendrick Perkins for Jeff Green and Ned Kristich.
The Ned.
I don't want, like, a couple of okay pieces for a great, an epic top 15 player, according to...
It's a mess. Yeah. They blew it. Would you just admit he screwed up? He should have gotten Giannis. He should have gotten the deal done.
Okay. I think that, yes, he probably should have. I would have not drawn the line at Hugo Gonzalez.
Yes.
Like Brad did for some weird reason. But I also think that right now, you can still put a good team around the two Jays. And you're going to have to, obviously.
Yeah, but that's another thing Steven said after the draft. It's like, it's really hard with the two max players. It's hard to build around them under these new constrictions. And really what he's saying is it's hard to do it now that Wick and his dad are in here signing everybody we want and going into all the aprons and doing all that stuff. Now we have, you know, finance bros running the team, and they don't want to do that. So now it's harder to do what we did in 2024.
But that's the one thing we don't know yet. We don't know this ownership. We don't know how much they're going to pay. We don't know whether they're cheap. We don't know anything.
Jaylen called them the team a salary dump last year.
Yeah, he did.
He's so full of I want to throw up.
Oh, Stephen A., you get so angry.
And then you get all this
food. I'm a bottom feeder.
You love asses. Yes, you do, Stephen. State your source. Might as well ass magazine. Oh, butts.
Always.
All right, everybody. Have yourself an excellent evening. The Red Sox are taking on the Yankees. Hey, how cool would it be if they won a series against the Yankees? They get a...
Hey, take that, Schlittler.
Oh, man. Please do something entertaining tonight.
Just be fun.
Just be fun. You know what? That's a shirt I'm going to wear to the next one. Just be fun. All right. Here's to everyone who showed up in a jersey of a player that used to play for the Red Sox instead of a current player, because that's everyone. Everybody, have yourself a great evening. Red Sox baseball is next. Thank you, Christian Arcan.
Anytime.
Thank you, Justin Turpin, for the first hour of the show. We love you. We'll see you. Oh, and we love Cars for Kids. Cars for Kids. That's right. They're the best. Hang on. Let me get that in right here. Hang on. Don't hang up yet. Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. And we will see you from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio, brought to you by New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay for what we pay for, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. Oh, yeah. Got him in, baby. Let's go. Everybody have a great